Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York invites you to be the informed patient with the podcast that features experts from Central New York's only academic medical center. I'm your host, Amber Smith. Upstate Medical University had one of the highest rates of living donor kidney transplants in New York State in 2023, and many of those were altruistic donations from people who just wanted to help someone. We'll learn more about living donor kidney transplants from Dr. Reza Saidi. He's the director of the Upstate Transplant Center and chief of transplantation at Upstate University Hospital. Welcome back to The Informed Patient, Dr. Saidi.
Thank you. Glad to be with you, Amber.
It's exciting that your team did 94 kidney transplants in 2023 and 32 involved living donors. How does that rate compare with other hospitals in New York?
A couple of years ago, we used to have one of the lowest rates of live donor kidney transplant in the state of New York. But in the past, I would say 4 years, we have a significant change in our direction of the program and our different campaigns around our city area. And I'm very pleased to announce that now we have one of the highest rates of live donor kidney transplant, not only in the state of New York, but in the country. There are about 20 kidney transplant programs in the state of New York. And among those, I think we came third after New York University and Columbia University. When you look at the percentage of kidney transplant came from live donor. And around the country, actually, the number of live donor kidney transplant has gone down since COVID. Used to be around 30-40%, and now it's down to 20%. But in our program, 35% of all kidney transplants were done from a live donor. And this is something that we put heavy emphasis on for the past couple of years, and we try to grow more because this is one of the best options for our patients. And usually with this kind of transplant, the patient has the best outcome.
So what steps have you taken to increase the living kidney donors?
I think the main thing I want to point out is about awareness. We spend a lot of time to basically talk to our referring physicians first and make sure they understand this is the best option. And also we talk to our patients. Now we have a special program to basically teach our patients how to go and approach somebody and how to find a living donor. For example, our patients put their stories on their social media. They go to their churches. Schools talk about this. I think these are the steps that we put in to increase the number. The other thing we have done, we expedite the evaluation of these donors. Now, most donors, in a matter of a couple of days, they get all the evaluation and they get the yes or no answer. I think that's also significant for the donors to be motivated to donate their kidney.
So social media and just getting out there and sharing your story, that's working. That's making people decide that they would be willing to do this.
Yes. Last year, we also have a live donor appreciation luncheon. We have, again, this year, a lot of donors came and shared their stories, and these were aired in our area, and people kept hearing this message. And since then, we have seen a lot of people just calling our program. They want to donate their kidneys, even to an unknown individual, call it altruistic donation. Actually, last year, about 30% of all the live donor kidney transplants were done from the altruistic donors. It's also very important that we get this message out there that people, especially if people are healthy and have a healthy lifestyle, can have a healthy life with one kidney. And donating one kidney to a stranger or family member doesn't jeopardize their health and their life.
Well, I want to talk to you more about what it means for the person who's willing to donate. But tell us again, why does it matter? Why is a living kidney transplant better than a transplant from a deceased donor?
Because they're a living donor, we screen all these donors and make sure that they're healthy, that a good kidney function. But when somebody passed away, there's a reason that the patient passed away. Now the average disease donor age in this country is in mid-50s. And a lot of these donors have a lot of comorbidities like high blood pressure, diabetes, or obesity. And the quality of the kidney is not good. But for living donor, we screen them and we pick the best. That's why the outcome is always better. And again, living donors is like elective surgery compared to disease donor, which is kind of semi-urgent operation. The time that kidney is out of body for a deceased donor usually is a matter of 15 to 20 hours. But for a living donor, because both donation and transplant surgery are done adjacent to each other, the cold ischemic time, I mean, the time that kidney is out of body without any blood flow, is a matter of a couple of minutes. That's why this kidney works right away. There's less damage to the kidney. And that's why these patients have the best outcome after live donor kidney transplant.
Well, let's talk about some of the questions people may have when they hear that someone they care about is looking for a kidney donor. You said that people can live a healthy life with one kidney instead of the two that most people are born with. Beyond that, who makes a good kidney donor? What are you looking for?
You know, let me tell you a little bit about the scope of this problem. Yeah. 1 out of 7 people in the United States have kidney disease. And unfortunately, the majority of those people progress to the point that there is no treatment option for them unless they stay on dialysis forever. But dialysis has its own ups and downs. And about 10% of people on dialysis will die on an annual basis. That's why this is a huge problem. And there are close to 100,000 patients on the list waiting to see the kidney transplant. And each year, about 5,000 people on the list will die because there is no suitable kidney. On the other hand, somebody's healthy, have a good kidney function, can donate their kidney safely. Now this operation is done to a minimally invasive approach without any big incision, and the recovery is quick. And we've been doing this for 60 years. Data clearly show that with one kidney, you can have a healthy life and doesn't jeopardize your health or your longevity.
This is Upstate's The Informed Patient Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Smith. I'm talking with Dr. Reza Saidi. He's the director of the Upstate Transplant Center, and we're talking about living donor kidney transplants. Now, are blood relatives necessarily the best donors?
Not necessarily. In the past, we thought that if you have blood relative, you may be genetically more close to that patient and the outcome is better. But now with new works that we have, people have shown that even comparing the live donor kidney transplant from relatives versus unrelatives, the outcome is about the same. It's not a huge difference. That's why this matter of the blood relative have better outcome, I think, is a myth. As long as the quality of the kidney is good, relative, unrelative doesn't make a huge difference.
Are there conditions that would disqualify someone right off the bat from donating? Yeah,
absolutely. Actually, that's why we screen these donors. Make sure they're in good health. They don't have, for example, kidney disease, or they have no other comorbidities like significant cardiovascular disease or respiratory problems. That's why the other outcome is the best, because we screen these donors and pick up the best. Donor has to go through extensive examination. First of all these donors that contact us, we do a screening questionnaire on them and make sure there's no red flag. If it's no red flag, we get the labs on them, make sure they have adequate kidney function. Then we see them, evaluate them, do extensive testing on them, make sure they're in good health and they can tolerate an operation, and then they proceed to donation. But the other thing within that program, actually, it was very helpful, basically jam all this evaluation into one visit. When the patient calls us, we do the questionnaire. If they pass the questionnaire, we do the testing. Then they come one day, see all the providers, and if everything's good, they get their CT scan to look at the anatomy of the kidney. And then we have a meeting. The committee decides whether or not that donor is suitable. And for the past couple of years, we adjust our processes, and now the evaluation time for donor, as I said, in our program is about 9 days. 9 days, they get a yes or no answer.
So I'm assuming a person needs to be at least 18 or an adult.
Yes, absolutely.
Do they need to be living in Syracuse or Central New York?
No. We have one person, his cousin came from California. And one of these altruistic donors that I mentioned came from Portugal. He used to live in Syracuse. Saw one of his friends on Facebook needs a transplant, and he came all the way from Portugal to donate. We had a ceremony a couple of weeks ago, and that patient came and talked to a TV station here in town about her history and how she got a kidney from an altruistic donor that came all the way from Portugal.
So 10 of your living donor transplants last year were from altruistic donors who just wanted to help someone. Some of them were strangers. They didn't know them from the past or anything. Can you tell us more about what motivates these people? Is it the same thing as someone who's willing to donate blood?
Yeah, I think they're just good citizenship. They hear these stories, and obviously a lot of these donors are very highly motivated and well-educated. They go read about it and find that, oh, this is not a dangerous thing to do. And they look to donate to complete strangers to just be a good citizen.
So if someone contacted you and said they wanted to donate their kidney to someone in need, would that kidney go to someone here in Syracuse or someone on the waiting list at Upstate?
Yes. When they contact our program, then we look at people on our list. We have about 400 patients on the list and see who's the match for that kidney.
That's what I was going to ask. How do you choose who gets it? You choose the best match.
Yeah, we try to choose the best match and give it to somebody that we know that's going to get the most out of that kidney.
Now, how much would the donor and the recipient find out about each other in the future? Might they go their separate ways and never know who the other was, or do they get to know each other afterward?
that depends on the donor, basically, if he wants to meet his recipient or not. Yeah, some people said that I don't want to do this. And some people after a couple of months said, yeah, I want to meet my donor. This is something that we give the donor the option, what do you want to do? That the live donor luncheon that I mentioned to you, one of these strange donor and recipient pair actually met each other. And it was a very touching story. Both actually were in tears when they recognized each other. And it was a very touching story. I think these stories actually can also promote live donation, hopefully, in our area. Because I said there are 400 patients on our list. And unfortunately, some of these patients might die because there is no suitable kidney donor.
There could be someone who's willing to donate their kidney to a person that they're friends with or a family member, but they're not a good match. Can you still make use of that kidney?
There's also a national donor exchange program that if your donor is not a match, they can go on that pool and they can find a similar situation around the country that somebody else have a donor that's not match and they can exchange. We have participated in this program for now 2 years. And last year, we have the case that one of our donors donated here. The kidney went to Cleveland, Ohio. And another donor donated from Cleveland, went to Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Another one donated in Rochester, went to South Carolina. We can create these chains and use the incompatible donors called a National Kidney Registry, which is a pool around the country that, because unfortunately, some of these donors might not, especially if you have blood type match. And with this program, we can transplant those patients in relatively short period of time.
So if someone wants to donate their kidney, can they choose who on the list that it goes to?
Absolutely. They can have a choice who they want to donate to.
By name or by characteristic? Can they say, I only want it to go to a woman or only to a man? Or
I never had a patient that they said, I want to donate only to a woman or man. They can say a name if they're their friend or relative, or if there's another match, they can go on this national exchange program that you mentioned.
That's good to know. Now, let's talk about once someone is willing to donate their kidney and they are a match and you've decided this is going to work, what happens next?
Yes, that's a very good question. When there's a match, then we try to coordinate with the patient and their donor to see what's the best time for them to have this live donor kidney transplant. And usually we do it the same day. Usually there are two ORs. Usually first the donor is going to go to the OR, and when they make enough progress, we take the recipient to the OR, get the recipient ready, and as soon as the kidney comes out of that donor, we transplant that to the recipient. And as I said, because the amount of time that the kidney is out of body is very short, this kidney works right away. Usually the donor, as I said, has a minimally invasive surgery through small holes and stay in the hospital maybe one or two nights maximum, then they go home. And the recipient usually in the hospital for about 2-3 nights and they go home. But the full recovery from the donor who donates their kidney is about 2-3 weeks. And usually they go back to work and they basically have a healthy, normal life after that.
Are there potential medical risks after you're a donor?
Yes, like any kind of surgery, there's risk of infection, for example, or risk of developing hernia. But these risks are very small. Or risk of death is still there, but it's extremely rare. Understand this is still a surgery, despite the fact that we're doing it through the minimal approach. I would say it's a surgery and there are risks, but with the experience and passing the learning curve, we have a very good outcome. We have no donor complications so far, except maybe minor complications like wound infection, stuff like that. At our program, past, I would say, 4 or 5 years that I've been here, we never have a major complication.
If someone who donated went on years later to develop some sort of a kidney problem, would their donor history impact their future care?
Yes. This is a very rare incident, but can happen. For example, let's say somebody donated their kidney and they're in a car accident and the kidney destroyed. Now they have no kidney and they need the kidney. That system, because they want to appreciate their heroic act, they get highest priority for these donors. If there's something happened and they need a kidney transplant, they're going to get the first kidney available, basically. But that's an extremely rare indication to have a kidney transplant. It's a safety net that the system put in place for live donors. That if, God forbid, this happened, they get highest priority to receive their next available kidney.
Well, Dr. Saidi, thank you so much for this interview and congratulations on the living donor kidney transplant numbers.
Okay, thank you.
My guest has been Dr. Reza Saidi. He's the director of the Upstate Transplant Center and chief of transplantation at Upstate. The Informed Patient is a podcast covering health, science, and medicine, brought to you by Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York, and produced by Jim Howe. Find our archive of previous episodes at upstate.edu/informed. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend to listen too. And you can rate and review the Informed Patient podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you tune in. This is your host, Amber Smith, thanking you for listening.